Shall we begin?
Welcome back to Claiming Zero, the podcast for the child-free and fence-sitter community with Dallas and Vanessa. I am Dallas, and Vanessa is here with us as well. As always, hello, Vanessa.
What's up, Dallas? You know, I'm going to start spicing it up at the top because I've been listening back so I don't have to binge at the end of season three. I've just been listening as it comes out. And I always say, hello, everyone. Or like, hi, friends. Those are like my two. So I'm like, what's up, people? That's what I'm doing so that I'm not predictable. Happy Monday. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I saw you shared your house news with everybody. So is it like a new build, or are you like,
yeah, it's a new build. It's a townhouse. But it's brand new, so it's literally being built right now. I got to go into it last week and see a lot more of it. So, but I won't be moving until June.
Okay, very exciting. Yeah. June, I'll remember. If I don't remember.
I've got a ways to wait, so I'm excited, but it's like patiently excited.
Yeah. No, it's exciting, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never been a homeowner, but I hear from all the people I know who are, it's like the most stressful but exciting process. Because it's financially strenuous, but get to make all these fun decisions. So I'm excited for you.
It's a lot. It's a lot of paperwork and like a lot of people involved. You can't just be like, hi, here's a check. I'd like to buy this house. Like there's a lot of paperwork that goes into it. It's annoying.
Yeah. You know, that's why I have the most respect for my sister, Erica, who does real estate, because every time I've referred her some people, and dang, she's like, okay, so then this page and then page 87. And I swear, it's like getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. You got to just sign here.
Yeah.
Sign there. And then when Devin bought his condo, he read every single page. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah. She's like, I've never sat in a signing that long.
For five hours.
That's my Devin. Just reading every line. Well, congrats. We have some other news to share with everyone today. So real fast, one of the things we wanted to launch in season three was we've been talking about expanding our social media platforms. And after some deliberation and discussion, we are now officially on Facebook. So we are going backwards instead of going into TikTok world. We're going backwards into Facebook land. It was one of those things you and I talked about where there's a community all over the place. But I think Facebook has a lot of people who, from what I've seen just in the child-free groups I've been a part of, some more older people, but also it just has a lot of people who just like don't give an F, you know?
Yeah.
Is what I feel. So,
well, I say yeah, but I don't actually know. So I'm not on, for those of you who don't know, I'm not on Facebook. I stopped Facebook about 4 years ago, and Vanessa is still on it, which is, she's the reason that we have a Facebook, because she was like, you know, I'm on it. I see a lot of stuff. I think we should really do it. I think it would help expand kind of our little network. I was very hesitant. I'll be straightforward. I was very hesitant. I'm not a fan of Facebook and I'm not on it. So it was very different, but this is kudos to you for making it happen. And people can, how can people find us on there?
So it's the same handle. It's still at Claiming Zero. And so we're a page, which I think will be nice. We thought about being a group, but with a group, you know, it's like, you got to be invited, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it is a page, which just, if you do go and follow along or whatever, you post anything there, just keep in mind it's going to be public, so everyone can see it. But yeah, I don't really use Facebook as much as I used to, but like I said, I do think that there is a community there that would not just benefit from what we put out in the podcast, but also the community of listeners that are you all. So excited for that. There is a link also if you're already following us on Instagram and you go to our link tree, I've linked it for you, so you can just go straight to the Facebook page from there. So you're welcome.
And then even what else? Bigger news. Okay. So
we're on MySpace too.
For when that comes back, we're ready for that one.
We're really going backwards.
Exciting news for both of us and for you guys. A couple months ago, we found out that a lovely gal named Katie and our very own child-free guru, Marsha, they are hosting a child-free cruise with Virgin Voyages. And maybe some of you have seen it, maybe some of you haven't yet, but that is something that I got really excited about immediately. And I told Vanessa, and I was like, with or without you, I'm going on this cruise. Like,
you did.
I love to cruise. And so you can come along if you want. See you there. Basically, it's so Virgin Voyages is 18 and up only. So there are no kids at all. So it's already kind of great for us. Mm-hmm. And then Katie and Marsha made it a group thing. Marsha has done child-free cruises a ton. Last year they did Alaska. Mm-hmm. I love to cruise. Vanessa and I both worked on cruise ships, so we know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be 10 times better because neither of us have to think about being in the kids' camp.
I know. That's the What was I thinking? Why did I do to myself?
Now, this is actually going to be February of 2024. So yes. I know those of you that joined us for our 100th episode in Vegas, it came up kind of quick and that was a lot of fun. And this is going to be even better. We're going to have, I mean, say we, as if we're putting anything on. We're doing nothing but showing up for the most part, but we might try to like slide in there a little bit and get some claiming zero activities going on.
So
that's going to be fun.
Yes. And so to name that, we're waiting for the official word, but we have been talking with Katie and Marsha, and there is a high chance that we will do a live episode on the ship, but we are working through those details. So we will let you know when those are solidified. So just excited. As Ella said, she booked as a guest, and then I was like, oh, well, live your best life then and forget about me. And then after some thought, and also the time frame for me, just my personal life, is not a great time to be leaving. But then when Katie reached out and we talked about like the type of things that we can intricate the claiming zero into it, I was like, oh my gosh, like I got to be there. So now we'll both be there. And so we just wanted to not only just tell you guys that we're going, but to just put it out there. If you aren't, again, on those platforms, and you didn't see it yourself, just another way to spread the word. It's in February. Do you have the dates and info of like where they're going? Do you know?
So yes. So the cruise actually leaves out of Puerto Rico, which is a little bit unique for cruise ships. But it actually is a really big benefit because there's only one sea day. It's like a 7-day cruise. And of those 7 days, 6 of them are in ports. So it's a really cool experience and you don't have to stay on the ship a bunch. But the best person right now to get in touch with and to go to get info is Katie. She's at cf.travelconnect on Instagram, cf.travelconnect. So connect with Katie, and then Marsha is Child Free Guru as well on Instagram. And they have a Facebook page. Again, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know where it is, but Vanessa, have you found it yet?
Yeah. So if you, it's actually same as us. Like if you go to her Instagram, she's linked her Facebook page as well.
Perfect. So that's the best way to start and really get the details. And then we'll kind of keep you guys up to date as we hear a little bit more and find out more about it. But these cruises always look so awesome when Marsha posts them. And obviously we love to cruise. And so it's going to be a really fun child-free vacation surrounded by purposefully child-free people as well.
Absolutely. And from what we understand, it is kind of like a vacation buffet where you get to choose what you want to do. So if you're like, look, I want to go, but like, love y'all, don't really want to experience anything with you, no judgment. Mm-hmm. You can do your whole own thing. You do not need to.
you do not need
a social butterfly.
Right. If you want to meet up with the group one time and then like do your own thing, that is totally fine. I'm going to be perfectly transparent. I told Vanessa, I was like, this is a vacation for me. Like, I would love to record an episode. We had so much fun doing our live episode. Like, that would be awesome. But I'm like, you know, if I don't like karaoke, so if they go to do karaoke, I may not go. And that's totally fine because we've got 7 days to hang out with each other and they're going to have tons of events planned for us.
For sure. So the events are going to be at your leisure. Now, if you're like me and you're like, sign me up for everything and sign me up twice, you can do that too. So again, we are not the hosts of it. We are happy to direct you to the proper channels. If you need that information again, like, you can reach out to us and we can connect you to Katie, but she is the head of it all. And then we will just be supporting her and then also living our best child-free lives on the ship. Yes. So, and so also this is my peer pressure to Laura that she needs to come with me. Peer pressure to my
Yes, sister. You do, Laura. So I'm actually going with my aunt, my child-free aunt, Auntie JoJo, who you guys have heard me talk about on the podcast. We are going together. And so I'm excited. It's our first like big vacation together, I think, really. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely look into it. You've got till February to get your life together.
That's right. Right? A whole year almost. Well, not really. It's March, but whatever. Moving on. Yes. Okay. So now we have all our housekeeping out of the way. And so today's topic is something that we had posted up on Instagram, and it was just a question. It was kind of funny because it happened kind of casually. I was talking with some coworkers and we got on the topic of this, and we got on the topic of kids and as it goes. And then we just started speculating, like, why are we all here? Like, what put us all here? I mean, obviously not the bigger grand, like, how did we get here? But more of like, how did your parents actually get to the decision of having you? So I put it out there on Instagram and you guys did not disappoint, and we'll read some of your answers. But first, Dallas, I want to ask you, why did your parents have you?
So until like a couple days ago, I had contemplated like asking my mom, because it's like not really a conversation we had. I don't know if this is something other people have ever talked about with their parents. You just kind of assume and move along. So I asked my mom, I was like, we're gonna do a recording about this, would you mind sending me an email? And she did not disappoint. I'm gonna read you the email, and there are things in here that I had no idea about.
Ooh, interesting. Can we give a shout out for her writing an email, because that's like,
yeah,
that's very thorough. I love it.
Okay, so she says, what Dallas may not know is I never really wanted to have children. No, mom, I did not know that at all. However, my mom has 1000% supported every and any decision I've ever made in my life. So,
okay.
But then I was young and didn't know what life was truly about. Then I met her father. I didn't ever want to get married either. Mom,
I love that. Hell? I love that that's after that I met her father.
Yes. Well, they're divorced, so it's fine. I get it. And then life went on and things happened. After being married for a few months, our two groups of best friends were married with multiple children. And I can remember like some family friends and like always having them there. So I get that. We all kind of get that. They always talked about things they did, places they would go, and kept telling us that we needed to have kids. We kind of figured that we didn't fit into this group, so we decided to have kids.
Wow. Like legit peer pressure. Wow.
Yes. The cat that we had at the time just wasn't doing it for us. And I had to ask my mom, I was like, what cat is this? Because we had a cat when my brother and I were little, it was just a white cat, and I'm pretty sure it was named Kitty. And she couldn't remember the cat either, but we've always had pets in our family. To be honest, I always really loved kids. I would go to my sister's house to play with my little nephew, and I worked in a grocery store, and the little kids would always come to my line and have a what I did today conversation with Stacy, which is my mom's name. After discussing our future, Dale and I decided to expand our family and have a child. Our first child was Dallas. She was the happiest, cutest, most popular little kid.
Oh,
she really wrote this, y'all. I'm not making this up.
No, she's lying.
She says, oh, this is my mom. No, really, she was.
No, seriously.
And she was always grandma's favorite. Don't tell the others, but that's the honest truth. Oh, it's fine. I already knew it. I knew it already.
I was clearly
grandma's favorite.
Aw.
We decided that she needed somebody to play with, so we figured that if we had another child, they would be just as awesome as Dallas. So my brother and I are actually only 15 months apart.
Okay.
So I think my mom realized very quickly, like, we need someone else to hang out with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have my brother. Our family was complete. One boy, one girl, both truly amazing kids. We would go into restaurants and be sitting at our table, and other people would come up to us often and say how well-mannered our children were. We certainly know that's not the case nowadays. And I have a message. This is from Stacy. If you're going to have kids, at least parent your children and realize that you are not the only person on earth. There are people around you that hear and see everything that you do. It affects other people and it affects your children. Don't be rude. I couldn't be more proud to say that they grew up to be extremely successful adults.
Wow. So, I love the message.
I did not know that about my mom, and mm-hmm. I appreciated her being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, like, what is your feeling of hearing all of that and now knowing, like, what came, like, what drove the decision for mm-hmm. her to have you?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm happy that they had me. I love being here on Earth.
Like, I love being on Earth.
I'm enjoying being me in my life. But I had no idea.
Yeah.
But it makes sense as to why my mom is so supportive of me not having kids. And she's never once made me feel like bad about it or that she would love a grandkid. I'm sure she would. Like she said in her email, she loves kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she always has. I mean, she thinks little kids are cute. She used to make my brother and I matching outfits when we were kids. Like she could sew full on outfits. And so like we were always dressed really cute. And I remember like she was talking about working in the grocery store. I remember with like going to visit her in the grocery store, and like she's always been just this very like bubbly, outgoing person. So I can imagine she would have had a really incredible life without kids, but mm-hmm. she had us, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm just speaking from, you know, my truth is my parents got divorced when I was very young and my dad got custody of us. So part of me now kind of realizes like, oh, whether or not my mom fought for custody or not, she was probably very content to not have that responsibility and to go and do something. Like she became a flight attendant and like she loved that for like 20 years. And so like I appreciate knowing that now because I think I know more about her decisions in life.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it does like, it's very telling, right? So I obviously relationships with our parents can be all spans of the spectrum, whether mm-hmm. your parents are not with you anymore or you have parents you don't speak to anymore. So I don't want any listeners to feel like, well, this is a topic I just can't relate to. And, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
it's more about just the recognition of their people are people before their parents. Like they mm-hmm. have a whole yeah. life. And that's very much what we're about as child-free people is like, look, I don't want to lose my identity. I don't want to like step into a different role that I'm not ready for, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think mm-hmm. that's why it's interesting to bring it here and share it with the podcast is to just really think about like even people who are parents, like at some point we're child-free, you know?
Yeah.
So my parents' answers are actually, they're not as eloquent. Let's just say that, okay? I called them out of the blue, and that's the best way to get responses from my parents, and I should have, like, recorded it. But I called, and the thing about my parents is that they're always together. Like, you can never mm-hmm. catch one of them without the other. So I specifically was like, hey, Mom, I have a question, and I need you to, like, not be next to Dad, because I wanted their answers separately, and I'll tell you why. So my mom's like, okay. So I asked her, I said, why did you have me? And once we got through all of the jokes and all of that and the fluff,
yeah,
she was like,
she realized you were serious.
I know. I was like, Mom, no, really. I am in my family. I know I talk about my family a lot. So let me just in perspective real fast. Let's catch everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
I am the fourth born out of what was six girls.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents adopted four more later on. So I was the fourth child they decided to have. So this was not, I was not an oops baby. I was not like we're starting a family baby. I was like mm-hmm. an intentional, we want to add more crazy to this family baby.
Mm-hmm.
So when I asked her, I was like, why did you have me? Not just why did you have kids? And she said, she goes, well, we had three. And I really didn't want your sister, Erica, who is the second born, to be a middle child. That was her answer. I was like, excuse me? She's like, I had seen a lot of things in the news and I'd read a lot of stuff about how middle child syndrome was a thing. And I really didn't want her to feel that way. So we decided to have one more just to balance it out and have four. And I was
middle
like,
middle child syndrome is so real.
And ironically, like now I told her, I said, but then you had more. So like you made me the middle child. So like now I have middle child syndrome. And she was like, no, you're not a middle. You're not a middle. I was like, yes, I am. So we had this whole discussion. And so then I was like, interesting. And she was, and you know, she did her mom thing. She's like, but we're so glad that we did. Mm-hmm. And da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I mean, I'm not offended. I just think it's interesting that like kind of how your brother came to be. It was like mm-hmm. a systematic, we have to create something for the other ones.
Yeah.
You know,
which I appreciate because I don't know if I'd be okay being an only child.
Yeah, I think you hear that quite a bit from only children. At least the ones I know, like Devin's only child. I have some friends that are only children, and they struggle with like just life in general and not having like a companion. So I think that's pretty common. But I thought that was interesting for my mom. And then I was like, okay, well, like, why did you have two more? And she's like, oh, because it was just fun. I'm like, all right, well, now I can't relate to you.
you lost me there. Sorry.
But my dad's answer. So my dad's answer really, truly like rocked me. And I wanted to really share it here because, of course, the male brain is just so interesting. Mm-hmm. At first, when I asked him, he said, Susie, why did we have Vanessa?
Oh, my God.
I said, no, that's you great. Give me your answer. And he was like, oh, let's see. And he literally said, Dallas, he said, because your mom didn't want Erica to be a middle child. So we had you. And I was like, no, that's like that's a scripted answer if I've ever heard one. You know what I mean?
Word for word. Same answer.
Yeah. I was like, is she like, are you safe? Blink twice if you need help. But then, like, again, through the nitty-gritty, and I peeled and I peeled, and I was like, Dad, I really just want a true answer. Mm-hmm. And he said, all right, you want the truth? I really wanted a son. And I told myself that I would keep having kids as much as I could afford to take care of them until I had a son. And that's why there's six of you. And a part of me was like, I appreciate the honesty behind that. But then another part of me, like, my heart kind of broke for my dad. You know, just knowing that, like, that's all he ever wanted and he didn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. But then I, like, asked him, I said, okay, so what would you have done with your boys that you didn't do with us? Oh, my gosh. He went on and on. He was like, I would have gone hunting and fishing and we would have gone off-roading. And I'm like, Dad, we could have done all of those things. Like,
yeah. Is your dad a hunter?
No, he's never
hunted. Okay, I was going to say, I feel like hunted. I don't think I've ever heard of him being hunted. Okay.
No, he was like, well, no, you girls can't go fishing because you don't stop yapping, is what he said. I was like, that's true. We don't stop yapping. But, so he just wanted and wouldn't net, which now, bringing it full circle, makes sense to the adoption because they adopted three boys and a girl. And so I think he's living his best life now, even though he's older. He takes those boys everywhere. So it was, again, just very interesting to hear, like, you better believe I called my sister Erica and I was like, hello, I'm supposedly your therapist and I just want you to know you're welcome. She was like, what the hell are you talking 100%. About?
100%. She needs to make sure she thanks you.
Because like I'm doing, because I asked him, I go, so how did I do with balancing out Erica? And they're like, well, she's pretty balanced. So good job. I was like, yeah, I succeeded in my mission.
Yes, that's funny. There's that connection that you and I both have from our moms, at least, of like, you know, putting a thought into it that kind of seems to make sense to them. And then your dad, something that we see and hear of fairly often, I feel like, especially with families of more than two, it's like, well, I really want a boy or I really wanted a girl. Like my sister had two boys to start with and she really wanted a girl. So they tried again, they got a girl. And I'm sure they would have tried for a fourth if they didn't. Like, I just feel like it would have happened. And I guess realistically, my mom saying we had one boy and one girl, we're set. Like,
yeah,
you kind of feel like, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. It was also, I think, a different time in regards to like kind of what your mom shared, where everyone around her had it and was doing it, and it was just kind of the staple, like. Which I think is such a beautiful thing about the time we live in is that there's so many different versions of families now that you don't feel that pressure. At least I don't. I mean, even the people I know who have kids, they might maybe have two. If you have three, they're like crazy, you know? Whereas like, I remember growing up with all my family friends, it was normal for there to be like four, you know? Yeah. And just that, and then also like the timing. So then to take it a step further, and right before we get to the comments, I asked Victoria and Josh, my sister and brother-in-law, because they're the ones with the 3 under 3 and they've always wanted 4 under 4. So I said, hey, let's flash forward 20 years. And if your girls came to you and asked you, why did you have me specifically? What would you say? And they gave interesting answers because Victoria, similar to my mom, was like, I wanted my girls to be close so that they could have like friendships. And the interesting thing behind that, we had this whole discussion, is like, you can't force that, right? You know,
Yep.
Like you have no way of knowing if they're going to get along at all. So many people can relate to that. We've had so many listeners who have told us like about all these different things that have happened in life or just personalities. You just don't mesh well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure my brother and I got along when we were little, but as we started to get older and, you know, just sort of develop into the people that we were at the time, at least we argued and fought all the time. And now we're not very close. I mean, my brother lives halfway around the world and I haven't talked to him in 3 months. Like, it's just this very, like, the intentions are there. And I'm sure that there's plenty of families that the siblings stay very, very close, but it's like you said, you can't control it. So you have no idea. Right. You just kind of hope for the best and try to raise two good human beings and move on.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, I see the way that they raise their girls and they definitely, it is a bit of a challenge sometimes. And I have to kind of jump in with my child-free perspective and be like, hey, like they don't all have to do everything together. Like, you know, because that's their parental desires. And I think that's one of the other interesting factors here is that like you had a child because you wanted X, Y, and Z. But now that child is a full human who gets to decide if they actually want to be X, Y, and Z.
Exactly. Great
and
point.
And that, you know what I mean? That's the hard part. And that's what irritates me about people saying like, oh, you're going to die alone or you're not going to have anyone to take care of you when you're older. That drives me nuts. Because it's like, there's no telling that if I have a child, like they're going to, like, what if they move away to London to live their best life? Like, I'm not going to, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm going to move in with them. Let's be honest. I'll be like, hey.
Grandma's here.
Yes. Okay. Some of the comments that we received, and I'm not going to use names just because I don't know how many people want their personal business out there. One was, so it says, I'm the oldest of five. And it goes like this. The first was unplanned, just really bad timing. Two, can't just have one. Need two. Three, unplanned. And now we might end up with one that has a middle child syndrome. I feel like this is you and me combined.
Oh.
Four, plan to even out the number.
Okay.
Five, oh shit. And isn't that how it goes? So like
that is not so funny.
Yeah. Another one just says, my mother decided to go out and have a night out. Got some censor word here. And 9 months later, I'm here.
That's very interesting to me because I think that, again, we always think about this very sort of stereotypical, you know, our parents started dating, they got married, they had kids. Like, no, you went out, you had a good time, you were feeling yourself and feeling this other person, and the night ends in sex sometimes.
Yeah.
And protection, no protection, birth control, no birth control, it can still happen. And for that person's mom to say, well, I'm going to have a baby and stick it out and have the child and keep the child. It's like, yeah, that does happen. And there's, I mean, in my eyes, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things, you're right. We don't really think about that. We don't really think about the non-stereotypical path of having children, you know, like there's so many different ways that people become parents. But in our mind, or at least I'll speak for myself, in my mind, it is what you just said. Like you get married, you have a kid.
Yeah.
It's whether it's an intentional or non-intentional thing, having the child, it's at least an intentional partner.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Which creates so much other like layers.
Yeah. And I wonder how, at what point does that parent say, her mom or their mom say, okay, I'm going to tell the story of basically how you came to be. Like, is that something that a parent would be super comfortable sharing nowadays? I'm sure. Because like you said, there are so many different ways that you can see a family and just so many different aspects to being a family that it's probably a lot easier now. But 30 years ago, it might've been like, your dad ran away to the war. Like, you know, you always hear these stories in movies and TV of mom making up some BS of like, oh, your dad was a great guy, but this happened to him. He died. And you're like, I just took a DNA test. My dad lives in the next county. Like,
right. No. And then, you know what? Like, I would say for me, I would want to know. Mm-hmm. I'd want to know the truth. And that's what I told my parents. I said, look, you're not hurting my feelings. I just want to know what the thought process was behind it. Because even if it was like an oops situation, I don't know. There's something about it that just kind of brings clarity to like what you said. Like, mm-hmm. I see my parents differently now. Mm-hmm. Like now, ever since that conversation that happened, like whenever I posted this, like a month or so ago, ever since then, like I'll call my dad and I'll be like, hey, dad, I want to go like, let's go do like something adventurous, because I can mm-hmm. feel in his spirit that that's what makes him happy. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's just so much there that we can learn if you are in a place where you're in a good place with your parents, or mm-hmm. you just feel comfortable enough wanting to know. I think it's an interesting question to bring to the table, because the other part of it, and I don't know if you got this out of your mom, but it made my parents stop and go, you know, maybe it is a good thing that you're taking time to think about it. Because we didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it kind of brings that mutual respect, I think, to the child-free space of like, oh, so this is why.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And and there's really, like you said, there's no shame either way, because I'm here now. I've been here for almost 38 years. I'm not going back.
You're in this.
You're I'm here until I'm in the ground. So
you're here. You're buying a house, all those things. Well, that's really what we have time for. So if you want to get it off your chest, if you want to share something you found out about your, if you had this conversation with your parents and want to share it with us, you can always do that either at our email, claimingzeropodcast@gmail.com, or our Instagram @claimingzero, or our Facebook @claimingzero. So many things. Yes. And again, if you have questions about the cruise, go to Katie. She's on Instagram, Katie, child free. I think you gave it at the top. You can go back and re-listen. How about that?
Re-listen. It's such a good episode. We did such a good job.
We did such a great job. Like, you should listen to it twice for sure. Oh my gosh. Oh, wait, real fast before we go. Bad news producer me. So this month is actually Endometriosis Awareness Month, and this episode is going to be coming out right at the end of the month, so we got it right in there. Real fast, just want to name the fact that there are a lot of women who deal mm-hmm. with endometriosis, and we actually spoke with one back in season one, Katie, mm-hmm. from episode 20. If you want to hear a firsthand account, she does a beautiful job of explaining what it is and how she's experienced it. If you don't know much about endometriosis, it affects 1 in 10 women, at least in the United States, and it affects over 200 million women worldwide. So it is something that needs awareness. There's not a mm-hmm. cure for it necessarily. It is something that leads to a lot of women getting hysterectomies and deciding not to have children. And we just wanted to mm-hmm. name that and say that it is always good to be aware of these things in our bodies. And if you mm-hmm. feel like there is something, say something to your doctor, look into it, etc. So
yes, absolutely. Katie's episode was fantastic, and I feel like, and maybe it's just because this month is Endometriosis Awareness Month, I feel like I've seen a little bit more in the media and news as well about mm-hmm. different people coming out and sharing their story, because the fact that there is not necessarily a cure and it's really quite awful and painful from what I've heard, I think that, you know, the more awareness, the better with these kinds of things. So thank you for reminding us of that, producer Vanessa.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Got to keep up on these things. Yes. So,
alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
Yes. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.